thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
I want to read together, please, from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. And we're going to commence at verse 36, and we're reading down to the end of verse 46. 36 down to 46. Then cometh Jesus with his disciples unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep and said unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now. And take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. May the Lord bless his truth to our hearts this morning. Quite recently, I was listening to a discussion on the radio. Sometimes these discussions are quite interesting. And when I was listening, my ears pricked up to a comment that was made. And it was this. It is time for us now, in this generation, to forget about Easter. To forget about a death and to forget about a supposed resurrection. And I thought, is this really happening? Is this going across our airwaves? Is this the propaganda that is being put out for people to listen to? And the comment that he made was this. This is absolute foolishness in this generation. I thought about it for some considerable time. Then the words of the Apostle Paul came very clearly into my mind again. He says, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And thank God this morning, the cross The preaching of the cross is as relevant, maybe more so today, than it ever was. And indeed, don't we notice how relevant it is when Paul says to those who say it's foolishness, to us, it's the power of God. We have found it in our own individual experiences. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of Christ. Paul was able to say on many occasions, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And so, after that comment, and I began to think, and I began to think again about the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul again says those lovely words, Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. And that he was raised again the third day, according to the scriptures. And my mind began to think again about the cross. What happened? What happened? Did this happen just all of a sudden and take people by surprise? Is this happened because of men, because of the actions of men? Dear friend, this happened because God foreordained it before the councils of eternity. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. On that journey to Emmaus, as this so-called stranger joined those two disciples, they wondered what had happened, what the chief priests and what the scribes, what they'd done to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were wondering. Listen to his words. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in to his glory? And so this morning, just for a little time, I want us to think about three places that are recorded in the Gospels relative to the sufferings and to the death of Christ. We read together from Matthew chapter 26, verse 36, Then cometh Jesus unto a place called Gethsemane. It is very important and very helpful to us to visit Gethsemane and to allow the Holy Spirit of God to interpret the scripture and bring home to our hearts what it meant for him, the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, to bear away our sin. Place called Gethsemane. What happened there? What sort of a place was it? It was a place of solitude. Jesus went there. They often went to that garden, to that place. They took Peter, James, and John. They went a little further. And then the Lord left them and he went a little further on. And we see him alone, bowed before his Father, kneeling down. Indeed, leaning down upon the ground. He said, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." Place of solitude, he was alone. It was a place of sorrow. "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death." Hebrews chapter 5 gives us some insight into that. Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared." Brothers and sisters, this morning, I think we need to spend more time in Gethsemane. We need to spend more time there and to realize and understand what it meant for him, the Holy One, to bear away my sin. Place of solitude, a place of sorrow. It was also a place of submission. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." This is the reason for which the Lord Jesus had come. He had come, he says in the prophetic scriptures, "I delight to do thy will, O my God." There was a purpose for coming into this world. And you and I were in the plan and in the purpose of God. And when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son. Here we have him in the Garden of Gethsemane, alone. The soul exceedingly sorrowful, submitting to the purpose, to the will of God. A place called Gethsemane. Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Verse 22. "And they bring him," that is the Lord, "unto the place Golgotha." Remember, we said that the Lord spent much time with his disciples in Gethsemane. Judas knew where to find him. He betrayed him. And they brought him to a place called Golgotha. What happened there? What sort of a place was it? So much happened beforehand. He was rejected. He was betrayed. He was despised. But they bring him to this place called Golgotha. And this was a place of suffering. I trust that we may never ever forget the sufferings of the Son of God. Was it for me? For me alone. The Savior left his glorious throne, the dazzling splendor of the sky. Was it for me? Was it for you? He came to die. And that place was a place of suffering. None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters crossed. Nor how dark was the night that the Lord passed through, where he found the sheep that was lost. It was a place of suffering, extreme suffering. Word of God puts it so clearly, he was wounded for my transgressions. Let's get that word my. Sometimes we can talk lightly about the wounds of Christ. But brothers and sisters, he was wounded for me. And he was wounded for you. And he was bruised for our iniquities. Place of suffering. Peter tells us, 1 Peter, that it was a place of sin-bearing. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body upon the tree. Man had done their worst to the Son of God. They hated him without a cause. He was despised, as we've already said. And man had done their worst to him. And you and I can never, ever understand or appreciate really fully the sufferings of the Son of God on the cross at Calvary. But friend, it's so wonderful, and especially this morning as we've gathered around the Lord's table, to realize that he was wounded for my transgressions and yours. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. And he bore our sin. The punishment that was due to us, he took it. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When thou hast made his soul an offering for sin. That's what happened. Place of suffering. Place of sin bearing. It was also a place of separation. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And in the darkness, as the Son of God made his soul an offering for sin, took upon him the punishment from a righteous and a holy God, he took that punishment, he bore it. And he was able to declare, thank God this morning, it's finished. In totality, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to his cross. And I bear it no more. Listen, praise the Lord, oh, my soul. He was wounded. Yes, he was bruised. Yes. But he took the full force and the punishment for our sin. And he declared, it's finished. Redemption complete. Hallelujah. He's a wonderful Savior this morning. He offered a tremendous sacrifice. And it was for you. It was for me. Indeed, we must rush on. It was a place of salvation. Lord, remember me. My, what a guilty sinner he was. And he acknowledged it. He was there because he deserved the punishment. He deserved it. He couldn't demand mercy. He deserved the punishment. But the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "Today, thou shalt be with me." Grace in the midst of suffering. Love bestowed in the midst of hatred. A guilty sinner. Brother and sister, this morning, that's where we were. We were guilty. We did not demand, we could not demand, we did not deserve, but in loving kindness, Jesus came. My soul in mercy to reclaim from the depth of sin and shame through grace, he lifted me. Hallelujah. That's what Calvary is. That's what the cross is. That's what the preaching of the cross is. Friend, this morning, let me say this too. That's what the gospel is. Because we're living in days when the word gospel is being undermined and misinformed and misrepresented. And it might surprise you where that's coming from in some cases. But friend, the sooner we get back to this, the gospel is the cross of Christ. The gospel is the sacrifice of Christ. The gospel is mercy and grace to a guilty sinner. Thank God for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Place called Gethsemane. Place called Golgotha. But then we read in John 19 that where the Lord was crucified, it says that there was a garden. There was a garden there. That garden was known, especially it was known to Nicodemus and others. We know how that our Lord Jesus Christ was taken down and placed in that sepulchre. And I was reading it again recently, and I tried just to focus in what was there in that garden. Well, as we've already indicated, there was a sepulchre. And that sepulchre speaks to me about death. The Lord Jesus Christ, he died upon the cross. The Son of God. Paul says, the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. He died. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He was taken down. He was placed in that sepulchre. Speaks to me about death. There was a stone that was rolled across the sepulchre. And that stone spoke to me about finality. Did they think, even his disciples, did they think that he was dead, placed in a sepulchre? It was final. Maybe they did. But God didn't. There was a stone. And as I looked at it, it says that there was security at it. Listen, this fella said, on the third day he's going to rise again. His disciples will maybe come and steal the body and say that he's alive. So let's put a security on it. Let's put the soldiers on it. And so there was a security. My goodness, when you look at that, sepulchre speaks of death. Stone speaks of finality. Soldiers speaks of security. But I'm glad this morning that not only were there those things, but there was the Savior in the garden. Because up from the grave he arose. Hallelujah. That's the message of the gospel. He arose from the dead, triumphant. He said he would. And God raised him from the dead. And by his resurrection, Paul says, we have been justified freely from all things. We have been received not only forgiveness of sin, but we are justified because of a living Savior. And that's the message of the gospel. He is alive. Those two disciples were on their way to Emmaus. And you know, we read the story often, but you and I can identify with them very often. Because as they journeyed along, they had unanswered questions. What's happened? Some people say he's alive. We haven't seen him. Unanswered questions. They had an uncertain future. What was going to happen there? We don't know what's going to happen. Those unanswered questions and uncertain future are very, very true to our experience in life. Maybe that's where you are today. Things have happened. You don't understand it. You don't have an answer. And you're walking along, disappointed and discouraged. Maybe you're saying, what am I going to do for the future now? What's my future like? It was an uncertain for those two disciples. But then we read these lovely words. Jesus himself drew near and he went with them. They were on that journey. Have you ever stopped to think? Jesus knew exactly where to find them on that long road. He knew exactly where they were. Brother, sister, today, he knows where you are. He knows how you feel. He knows the unanswered questions and the uncertain future. He knows all of those things. He draws near. And he opened to them the scriptures. He's alive. He was raised again. Men thought they'd finished with him. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, he says this: if Christ be not raised, he says, our faith is vain. He says, if our faith is vain, he says, our preaching's vain. He says, if Christ be not raised, he says, you're yet in your sin. But now is Christ risen from the dead. He's alive. He's at the Father's right hand. He's been exalted to the place of honor and majesty and glory. And one day, he's coming again. Hallelujah. This is the blessed hope of the child of God, the coming of our Savior. May God bless his word. And your love is
great. Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.